Okay, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 1:30 agenda item, and the first item is for fiscal year 2026 budget workshops for the landfill. So with that, Dave, take it away.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We have the FY26 budget up on the screens, and then hopefully I assumed correctly. Do you have this report that was submitted?
I believe we do.
The budget. I've got copies in this format too, if the board needs one, but if you got copies of the printout that was sent on the email this morning.
We do.
Use that one?
Yep.
I guess just quickly, a couple of 10,000 foot view highlights. With this proposed, at this point, total revenues are proposed at $10,488,013, with total expenses, A, B, C budget, at $8,883,000, that's some change. So that's an approximately $1,604,000 addition to the reserve account, if that was the actual numbers at the end of FY26.
Chairman, sorry.
Go ahead.
On your revenues, I don't remember ever your revenues being that high, which is a good thing, because as the trash goes, so does the economy. But have you hit 10 million?
Yeah, no. So for fiscal year 25, we're projected, and I'm going to circle back to this revenue discussion.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We may bump that up even a little more. But for fiscal year 25, we should hit about that $9,700,000 in fee revenue as projected with the 25 increase.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we had some in fiscal year 25, we increased our municipal solid waste fees and some other fees. So it definitely increased our revenue and fees.
Thank you.
One other broad point I wanted to make before we get into the devil in the details. The fee budget for this FY26 request is approximately $140,000 more than last year. So that's $140,000 more than last year. That's primarily due to, if you recall, we recently had our landfill expansion approved by the Department of Environmental Quality. So we have some things we're going to need to do to get ready for that. The first step, which I budgeted for in FY26, is to install two new groundwater monitoring wells that are down gradient from the lateral expansion area that was approved. So we have to abandon one of our wells and install two additional wells. And we're not going to abandon the well this next year, but we do plan to install two additional groundwater monitoring wells. And that, the estimate thus far is about $500,000, about $450,000 for the two wells. So that's kind of why our B budget is a little bit more. We tried to reduce some other areas, so it wound up being about $140,000 more in our B budget from fiscal year 26. I just want to kind of note that. So kind of backtracking now, just wanted to kind of go through some items, some line items. And as I go through this, if I skip anything that the board sees that they would like to address or ask us a question, we'd feel we could do that. We can answer those questions. So the first one is landfill fees, 344501. Basically, I just moved over from the 25 budget to the 26 requested, the same number. this is the first year with the fee increases, and I projected them at about $9,700,000 for fiscal year 25. I think we're certainly tracking to hit that, and I didn't know if Kyle or the controller has taken a look at that in any detail, but I feel like we're on track to hit that. So with that, I just wasn't sure, I'm not quite positive where we're gonna wind up, so I was kind of reluctant to increase it to fiscal year 26 request. But we could certainly monitor that as we get closer, and if we are gonna hit that number and the board and in consultation with Greg and the clerk and Kyle, if we think we wanna increase that number by 2 or 3%, I wouldn't be totally opposed. So that number would actually go, if we increased it by say 3%, we'd be looking at closer to $10 million in fees instead of the $9,700,000. So I guess something to think about if we have another budget hearing or budget workshop, or I can kind of monitor it with Kyle and we can kind of see maybe when we get closer to for a final fee projection number.
So, Chairman?
Sure, no.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure once May is over, we'll have a better idea. We're a week behind on posting, so like if you look at May right now, it's behind last May, but that's a little bit, we have last week and then you'll have this week as well. I'm sure there was quite a bit this weekend too with the memorial.
And we're just coming into our busy season, so this next 4 months is historically higher fee revenue generator than some of the other prior months just because of summer, more activity, more building, more everything, grass, weight. Grass, believe it or not, impacts us greatly with the route trucks because their weights go way up with all the grass. Mow the grass.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chairman, just through April, because May's not done yet, if you just took those totals year to date, divide it by 7, multiply by 12, like we're on track for 9.1 mil in revenue. But May's not complete, and as Director Loper said, the busier months are ahead. So, you know, even if you just maintain the same trend, you'd be hitting 9.1 mil, but you're going to probably get to that budget amount of the 9.7.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident we're going to hit that 9,700,000. So it's just whether we want to project a 2 or 3% increase on top of that. I think that if we hit the 9.7 million this year, I would recommend we increase the fees by 2 or 3%.
Every month this year beat the same month last year, just for reference.
So I'd say that we increase it. We have that many more residents already, so it's not like we're shrinking, we're growing.
Okay, great. I'll bump that.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Want to be talking without your.
So what I assume after this meeting, Greg, after we decide on some changes, I'll go back and make the changes in power plan, or is Kyle going to do that?
We can do that by 2 or 3% right now if that's what the board's comfortable.
Do it.
3%.
3%?
Yep.
Okay.
Still keeps it just under a million, 10 million.
We'll make that
90.
Yeah. All right. Very good. The next one I wanted to talk about is interest on savings. I plugged in a number of 600,000. I don't know if that jives with the clerk of the, or Kyle, so we can.
It's something that we're still ironing out to finalize with the treasurer.
So you want to wait on that number till we come back through?
Yeah, we can speak with Treasurer Waters and see if we're getting closer to kind of having a more realized number for that. So. Yeah,
the way it's trending right now, we're gonna should.
Well, we're like 407K. We budgeted 411, but the prior year we realized 740,000. So I mean, this year's not gonna hit as much as last year. But we'll have to, as Kyle said, just interest. We still haven't fully estimated something that we think is an accurate reflection of interest throughout the county. So
we'll, once we get that ironed out, we'll give it to Director Loper.
Okay.
Okay, let me know. Great. And then the last thing in the budget revenue area I wanted to point out is equipment, 382752. So that's 60,000, that's the estimate on the sale of our current grader. We'll talk later on in the budget or in the, towards the very end. We plan to purchase a new grader, a new transfer truck. Daniel will talk a little bit about that when we get to it. But we will have a grader that we will probably not keep and we will sell, and that's the price that we got quoted on that from John Deere. Is about 60,000. We might look at seeing if we can do an auction private sale, get a little more out of it, but if not, we're at least guaranteed the 60,000. It's about a 15-year-old grader.
Yeah, 15.
So we don't like to take the price off the grader and do that. It's a revenue coming in and purchase rates.
Okay.
So pretty much the fees, the interest on savings, and the equipment sale makes up the total revenues. Next thing I'd like to point out is overtime. We have a pretty big overtime number there. For efficiencies and for landfill operators, they work 12-hour shifts. So 1 week they're working 48 hours, the next week they're working 36 hours. So we do have some overtime that we do pay out. However, this enables us to cover the day-to-day operations from start to finish without having separate shifts. So it helps us with efficiencies in terms of FTEs. If we had to go to like different shifts, we'd probably need another two or three more operators, which you can imagine would cost more than 60,000. Mm-hmm. So that's why that number is pretty, and we'll monitor that. We might have to bump that. Daniel pointed out to me today, we might have to bump that just a slightly, but I'm gonna monitor it a little bit for the next month or two. So with that, I didn't have anything really else to talk about in the A budget unless the board had something they want to point out or ask. So moving on to the B budget. So the first two items, professional consultants, miscellaneous professional services. The professional consultants, that's our third party contract engineering, Tetra Tech. That's pretty much I've budgeted close to that amount for several years. It's usually about the amount. Again, I feel that's a really good deal. You know, $150,000 a year for third party engineering contract services, is that's a pretty good deal for a facility of our size and what we do. That's not all the money we spend in that area. There's a landfill expansion item and some other smaller areas, but still, it's the lion's share, and I think it's a good value.
So do you have a line for the potential future gas collection system?
We have the gas collection and flare systems installed, burning now. As far as the a beneficial project, gas energy project, we do not have a specific line item in there now for that, but that part of that $150,000 would be for any kind of like feasibility studies or RFPs help that we get. Whatever we do in the beneficial use of the gas will probably be more expended by a third party developer instead of the county. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I'm concerned that we keep moving forward with that, and if you don't fund some stuff, it just languages to the next year. So,
yeah, as part of the FY25 in our professional consulting area, we should have some leftovers. I actually plan on June 18th is going to be our SWAC meeting. I plan to hold that at the Ada County landfill. I've kind of talked to Herb Cantu, the director of Ada County, and Brian Cronin with LFG. They do have their RNG gas flowing into the Intermountain pipeline currently. They just got it up and running. So I'm going to have the meeting at Ada County, kind of kill two birds with one stone. We're going to have the SWAC committee tour both the electric plant and the renewable natural gas facility. And then also I have a proposal from Tetra Tech to do the feasibility study that we kind of spoke about, that I want the SWAC to kind of chew on and make a recommendation to the board. The feasibility study is to do three or four things. Number one, to kind of look at the feasibility of electric, feasibility of RNG, sample our landfill gas so we know what the quality is for sure, and then give us a report and wrap that up into a nice summary. After we do that, then I really feel like we'll have the knowledge to have them help us with putting out an RFP and help us with selecting potential vendor. So yeah, we're actually, June 18th is when we're hopefully going to get this
started.
Get going.
All right.
So anything we do with that is all wrapped up into that professional consulting number.
Okay. And you're comfortable with that level, including that?
Yeah.
All right.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And to kind of add on to that question, FY27 will probably add a revenue line for the potential, if this is coming online, to capture the revenue back in on that specific revenue line, but not this fiscal cycle.
And then we'll get
a twinkle in my eye, at least.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. So for the clerk and Kyle and Sarah, we will get to an expansion line item to where we actually have money set aside for some expansion design and stuff. So all the expansion stuff will be captured in one spot. This professional consulting is for just general engineering, general miscellaneous stuff that they help us with. Air reporting, groundwater monitoring reports, all kinds of different things. So the next one I wanted to point out was miscellaneous professional services, right below that $2,230,000. So in the notes and power plan, you would notice that $275,000 is a projected amount for the Justice Fund to go back to the sheriff for our SILD program. So as the SILD workers come out, we keep track of the numbers, we keep track of the hours, and it's, I think our MOU right now is $15 an hour that we push back towards the Justice Fund to help with that program. And then I did put in $15,000 for lobbyist money for the landfill, so to help with Sarah keeping track of just different legislation that comes online with solid waste, and to just help us keep informed and in tune with what's going on at the State House. And then for this specific number, $1,940,000 would be our admin or indirect rate for, it's the fees, it's the percentages of the fees that we generate, go back to the county for admin, for HR, for IT, for attorneys, for board, for everyone. That number, I'll have to do a calculation, Kyle, because that number will change a little bit because we bumped up the fees 3%. So whatever the fees, whatever fee number we come up with, we need to, 20% of that will be the admin indirect rate. So it should be more than $1,940,000. If it'll be close, but I'll give you that number.
Okay.
Chairman.
So that number will change slightly. The more fees, the more admin rate.
Chairman?
Yes.
I have a question for you if we back up to the lobbyist on that. First of all, which line did you say you put that in?
I just put it into the miscellaneous professional services.
Okay.
Put it into there because we really don't have a line item.
Okay. And I know on one other, my question really has to do with partnerships. So there was one other where we were with Ada County in securing a lobbyist to help with mutual interests. This is the one. Okay. Thanks. Just clarifying.
Well, I understood. That's hard to share.
Okay. Thanks.
And it's usually solid waste related, you know, the whole, there's lots of stuff going on in solid waste.
Yeah.
On the, was it $15 an hour that you're paying on the payback? Let me just try to get that in my mind. What you were saying you were paying back Justice at?
Yeah, so historically when we historically, when I first got here, it was an inmate work release program. Folks that were incarcerated, if they were on work release, they could come out to the landfill and then go back to the facility in the evening. That's how it worked prior, and we had a similar situation to where we, the enterprise fund would help support that program. COVID hit, that whole process went away. It was a blessing in disguise, because now we work with the sheriff's department in terms of the SILD program. So we bring SILD workers out, which are basically community service workers, to help support that program. We have an MOU with the sheriff to where we get a certain amount of workers. I think facilities gets the first four, and then there's a hierarchy, and then we get the next how many, 10, 20, and then it goes on from there. But our MOU with the sheriff's department is for every hour of SILD work, we the enterprise fund gives back $15 per hour. So we keep track. So we keep track of all the SILD workers that come out, all the hours they put in, times $15 an hour. For this, for the projection for fiscal year 26, it's about $275,000. And that, what that does, it's all the work that we need done out there, litter picking, cleaning up after a big windstorm, doing the highways, Farner, Missouri, Deer Flat, all the different roads around, community complaints, farmer complaints, to go clean up, you know, different dumps, illegal dumps, ditch work. They do a lot of shoveling ditches and shoveling snow, just a lot of, they do a ton, and they're a great asset. They just do a ton of the labor work that we really need done, that we would have to hire a labor crew for and have FTEs and all that. They do all that for us. So it's a, I think it's a good partnership and a good deal for the enterprise fund. It helps support the SILD program for the
sure.
So that's how that works.
All right. Well, we'll look into that a wee bit. So.
Okay.
All right. For the moment, let's bring that forward as is.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it would be a revolving door if we had to hire folks for that or to go. I mean, it would be a lot. So, I mean, I definitely, the SILD program is working well. It's much better than the inmate work release, because these people aren't going back to the jail and trying to hide things and
right.
do all kinds of shenanigans. They work good. And so anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yes.
How long has it been at $15?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, since we signed the MOU, which is, I'd have to pull it, it's probably been, it's been since COVID, so it's probably, what, 3 or 4 years?
Okay. Thank you.
I would take direction if the board so chooses to, you know, if they want me to look at that rate, or if you have a concern, just let me know.
Yeah, and I agree with your comments that it's a great program. It helps you, it helps the sheriff's office, so I don't think anybody's proposing we not use it. I guess I was asking about.
Yeah, we need to look into the rate. We need to look in that there needs to also be a basic admin cost too, besides per hour. So
yeah, $15 is probably a deal for the enterprise fund right now. But sure.
Okay, so
yeah, you bet.
Look in that.
Get that down. So moving on, I think I'm just going to move down to our next big expense, diesel. I'll hit that point, Daniel, a little bit.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, diesel, lifeblood of the landfill, that's what makes everything go out there. We adjusted it down a little bit. We're monitoring more closely, you know, so, and we've got more vendors involved, so we're just doing a better job at it. So I think we're right where we need to be.
Okay.
That whole gas thing, diesel, it's a game. I mean, you got the rack rate, and then you got this and that, and then the thing. I mean, you got to keep track of it, or just like they get comfortable. Put it that way.
Yep. Put it that way.
Multiple pricing levels.
We don't want them to get comfortable.
Right.
And then tire removal. I think Daniel's got some things on that one too.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, tire removal. So, if you guys are familiar, United Metals, they have a division called Tire Reclaim, and they're pretty much the only show in town as far as disposal of tires. So we take more tires now at the landfill with the new fee structure, restructure. We're accepting more tires, so our tire out processing is obviously increased. So that number had to increase. I think it's like 20,000, yeah. So, I mean, we have, and it's a compliance thing too, so we can't just stockpile tires on the ground. They have to be removed at some point. So that's just kind of a cost of what we're doing there with tires. So
we did increase the fees though on the other end.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
To capture that, so it's not really a revenue loss, it's just, it shows. It's
somewhat of a pass-through then.
Yeah. Yeah, we raised the fee per tire to, I think, 350 a tire. Which should cover, comes close to covering our costs.
Okay.
Because we're not allowed to bury tires. You can put dirt on tires, or pop out of the ground. They expand, contract, expand, and they pop out. The only way to bury a tire legally is we have to have them shredded. And Tire Reclaim does that. They take them and shred some of them. They recycle some of them. They make chrome rubber into some of them. But we do get them back is a weight, so we get them, then we charge them to bring a shredded tire. So they leave, and
it's big circles.
Yes, it's a circle of life for tires.
It is.
It's retired.
Wood waste removal, household hazardous waste collection are two big items. Kind of is what it is. Wood waste removal, that's for the green waste, that's for the sheetrock, tan wood, that's our Timber Creek contract. And then household hazardous waste collection, that is bumping up a little bit. Our fees, Clean Earth, our current contractor, had a pretty good fee increase. I am working with the PA's office and Aaron on putting another RFP out there to see if we can get some better competitive bidding. Because of that fee increase, I was a little unhappy with that. Probably next month or two, you'll be hearing about that. We're going to put out a RFP for bidders for hazardous waste collection.
Okay.
There's kind of two. There's Clean Earth and Clean Harbors. I don't really know of anyone else, but we'll see what
we get. See what the RFP pulls.
Yeah, we can see what we get. And then the next one is landfill expansion, 532220. That's for some expansion design. So even though we got our landfill expansion approved, we still have to, and the general design is approved, we still have to design the landfill gas system as part of that new area. So that's kind of what that's for, is number one, to specifically design landfill gas pipes where they're gonna go within that expansion. Number two, we're gonna have to have an engineered road designed to get back down into the bottom of the landfill as part of the expansion. And then number three, we're gonna, in upcoming fiscal years, we're probably gonna have to hire like a scraper crew company come in and move about, I don't know, it was like 1.2 million yards of dirt, but we've been digging on it, so I don't know, it might be 800,000 yards of dirt or something when we're ready. But point is, we're gonna have to move all this dirt to get it out of our way so we can start the new cells and put in these gas lines and create new airspace. So we have to kind of have that designed. So that's what that number four is there. Because, yeah, Old Perch Road, phase three is going to take over all Old Perch Road. So really, there's no way to get down back into the bottom of Dead Horse Canyon unless we come off of Deer Flat and Perch, which is right there above, below Bernie's house, or the Tunison's house, the dairy. And it's just a horrible intersection. I mean, we could put scales and stuff over there and come in that way, but it's just a terrible intersection. And so the only other alternative is to actually build a road that goes around the facility back into the bottom. And it'll be the road for the 40 plus years of the expansion, plus the 75 or whatever more years somebody else does with it. Daniel and I are long gone. And it'll be a paved, you know, bona fide road. So there's going to be some engineering and some cost.
Right. Yeah. There's some design work. You don't move 800,000 cubic yards without a plan.
Yeah. So that's that landfill expansion number at 50,000. That's for some of the design engineering on that. And then just moving on to equipment repairs. We project 150,000. We've had some excessive repairs this year. We'll probably exceed that number, but feel like we don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction to blow that number up in years coming. So we're just gonna leave it where it's at. Equipment repairs is kind of a, you know, flip of the coin a little bit. You know, we just have to kind of, we have kind of an average that we run. Sometimes we exceed it, sometimes we don't.
Absolutely.
We just kind of had some big ones this year. All right, next page, I think there's only one item on the next page I wanted to point out. The condensate transport, that number 25,000, 548,480. That went up a little bit. We're just producing more condensate than we first thought we would produce. That condensate is liquid that we have to dispose of at a liquid treatment plant facility. Master Environmental has been coming out probably every month and a half.
They'll be out here this Friday.
Right. So they come out about every month and a half and pump about 3,000 gallons. And that's the condensate that comes from the landfill gas system. So all it's a warm, moist gas that comes out of the landfill. And when it hits those pipes, it precipitates out liquid as what we call condensate. It's not leachate. It's condensate. It's in a gas form, a moist gas form, and then it precipitates out into a liquid and then has to go someplace into it. We have a tank that it goes into, and because if we didn't do anything with it, everything is sloped to this tank or sloped to pumps that pump it into the tank. Because if this condensate, if we did nothing with it, it would fill up the pipes.
Right.
You can't pull gas or air through the pipes. It's kind of like a P-trap in your house. You know, you can't pull air through it. The P-trap's there to prevent smell from coming up into the house. So if we get any bellies or liquid blocking these pipes, we can't pull the gas out of them. So it's very important we get rid of the liquid. And it, when we sample it, it's like gin clear.
Seriously?
I mean, it's crystal clear.
So you can't,
because it was in a gas form and then precipitated out into it.
You can't test it and then use it for dust control or anything?
We tried that. However, DEQ did not allow us to use it as dust control. It's got a real high pH, so it's really low pH.
Yeah,
it's a low pH. So it's really.
So it's alkaline or acidic?
And we kind of explored that option, Mr. Chairman. It turns out their reasoning I don't quite agree with, but it probably turns out to be a blessing because it's so acidic that it would probably be tough on our equipment and stuff if we pumped it.
Just have to have stainless steel tanks.
Yeah, over time. What we might do once we get a couple years worth of data on what we actually produce, it might be worth putting in an evaporation pond out there.
True.
Just put it into an evaporation pond and just let it evaporate. Just build the pond big enough to where it evaporates more than what we're producing. And then we wouldn't have that long-term disposal cost.
Let's look at that, because I hate those fixed long-term costs on something. Yeah. I'd also say This is my personal opinion. I could be wrong. Your mileage may vary. But since the Chevron decision, I'd almost push back on the EPA and tell them, give me the science behind your decision.
Second look at dust control.
No, I agree.
And then even the evaporation basins would be preferable than paying to have it taken off site.
Yeah, and the only reason why we didn't design the evaporation.
You could, but it'd be an expense. Yeah.
The only reason why I didn't design the evaporation basins right out the gate is because the models and the theory behind how much we were going to produce in condensate was astronomical.
Astronomical, yeah.
And I was like, and they were telling me I was going to need this evaporation basin the size of Texas. I was like, no, let's. So I wanted to collect it and get real numbers first.
Right.
And then we can build an evaporation basin.
That's wise to do.
Yeah. But I'd like your idea of making a second run at the regulators and see if we can use it for dust control.
Yeah.
Because it, technically we can't put bulk liquids into a municipal solid waste site, right? Everything we take has to meet the paint filter test.
Right.
But we're talking about dust control.
Right.
Like we're not burying a bulk liquid in the fill.
Right.
We're doing dust control. We do it every day. It penetrates about that far and then evaporates. It doesn't perk in.
Yeah.
Chairman.
And Zach's correct. You could possibly look at some constituent to put in to equalize out the pH a little bit.
Now that we know the constituents of it, maybe we can make a second run at them. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. That was my question. If you have a low acidity liquid, then you can have burns. It'll be harder on your equipment and then people out there. I don't know. I guess that's a question that I would want to make sure we were not putting either from the evaporation of that and the smell or just the pH of that itself on equipment and people.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, now that we know and we've dealt with it and we have some testing, we can address all that.
Okay.
But we should, I agree with the chairman, we should maybe take a second look at it. And we'll address all those concerns plus see if we can't address DEQ's concerns. And that'd be the best scenario if we could just use it.
Yeah. Because you could, you don't have the spray boom would have to be stainless, but you could do a poly tank or whatever to get by with the
and 3,000 gallons is nothing. We go through that like one. That's one water truck.
We do 4,000 gallons.
Yeah, we do like 10 of them a day.
Okay, so there you go. Thank you.
Yep. And then the very last page. Got just a couple of them. I think I'd highlight the storage buildings. So for that $242,000, that's enclosing our lean-to out there and also concrete the floor. So it's enclosing the lean-to with some garage doors and concreting the floor. It's the lean-to where we store a lot of stuff, we store equipment in. It's just a dusty, dusty bird-infested mess. We'd like to put concrete floor down and then enclose it with some garage doors. The structure's already built, and it'd also be insulated, and we'd put most of our machines in there in the winter. So that's part of it. That's, I think, $120,000 of it. And then the proposal is we would like to put another bay on our shop for like light trucks. Right now we have two bays. Both of them are used for heavy equipment. We'd like a smaller bay for light trucks, for the tire repair equipment. The shop is just getting cluttered, too busy, too much stuff. So the proposal for that is $104,000. And then there's a landing that goes with the lean-to. That's another $17,000. So that makes up the $242,000. Pretty good deal, really, for all that. It's not too expensive. And I've worked with facilities, and we'll tag team the procurement, all that.
Are they still selling waste oil furnaces for shops like that?
I think so. Mr. Chairman, I think there's still availability now as far as our permit. I don't know where that takes.
I don't know where your permit is with that, but I heard that there's a new company that bought several of those patents out, and the new on-the-market unit is phenomenally low maintenance. They fixed all of the Achilles heels of it. Anyway, you guys are waste oil rich.
Yeah.
And you could heat that like Florida.
Okay. Yeah, because we're currently using propane.
Yeah. Well, that way you go from buying something to consuming something.
Yeah.
It's already on site.
Yeah, my God, we're looking at it.
And then other improvements, 683340, that 450,000, that's for the groundwater monitoring wells that I spoke earlier about.
Is it a quote, or they know how deep they want you know?
It's a general.
General, okay.
Tetra Tech is working on the design and the request for, because we're going to have to put that out for a request for qualification too.
Okay.
So they're working on the spec sheet for that. It's a general quote at this point. Okay. We haven't been able to nail it down.
Understandable.
Park. They're going to be down there. They're probably going to be 300 to 500 feet.
Oh, okay.
Where's
that far?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be ways down there. There will be stainless steel casing, you know, the whole nine yards. Expensive.
Yeah.
We got to build them right, because we don't want landfill gas migrating into them and then going down and
right. Having
groundwater and
lots to consider.
And then 684110 machinery, that's the line item we used for the generator, the on-site generator. I've been working with director with Ricky on. Trucks pickups. Just work with Mark on one new pickup.
So, question on the generator.
Yes, sir.
I'm toying with what I want to say. If the future idea is to sell the gas, you might look at purchasing a propane-driven generator. You'd have to buy the propane for the first couple of years, and after that, you have an endless supply for your backup generator. Just a thought, rather than buying a diesel generator, but you have to worry about it when it's cold and getting it started. It will cost a little bit more to begin with, but in the future, you'd be running on free fuel. Got what, 85K is what you have for that?
Yeah, that was a Coke quote. That's what, fully operational?
Is that with an automatic transfer and all of that?
Yeah, that's, yeah. Mr. Chair, that's having the electrician do all the work, hook up everything.
That's so
transfer switch, all of it.
All of it. So it's not that large of a generator then? 35K probably.
I think it's 30 or 35 kVA.
Anyway, it's something to consider rather than owning a diesel generator for the next 25 years that you have to watch the fuel and everything else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll look into that.
Propane or that gas is not going to age out. It'll just
be there forever.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good idea. I'll work with Ricky on that and see what we'll come up with.
Okay.
So we'll coordinate with Mark on one truck swap out. And then heavy equipment. Well, Daniel, go over that, 700,000.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. As Dave, Director Loper, stated earlier, we're going to be selling one of our graders, or our grader.
Right.
15 years old. I think it's almost at 11,000 hours. It's lived a good life.
It's lived a great life.
But we're looking to replace that with a machine that will, similar to
that will hopefully last 15 years, 10,000 hours. So that's the replacement for that. And then our transfer truck, it's older. We're looking to get a newer one. And some things, consideration there is, and one that's kind of like in the future, but drivers, Allison transmission. Our new water truck that we budgeted for this year is coming with the Allison transmission, and this one we're getting with, we're proposing to proceed with the Allison transmission just because kids don't drive stick shift or standard transmissions anymore. So that's not the sole reason why, but, and then there's going to be some more efficiencies on potentially hauling our own tires and stuff like that and stuff for the landfill. So it'll be road ready, you know, completely street legal. So
it'll be reliable, road ready, new. You know, right now, tire reclaim charges is a certain amount to bring boxes out and haul the tires here. You can just buy a box and haul the tires here. That's probably about, we did the math, and we could save maybe about $10,000 a year doing that.
Sure.
So over time, the transfer truck's going to pay for itself, really, if we start looking at some efficiencies in that area. And then the grader, that 500,000 is a real, it's like 490 some thousand. It's a quote from John Deere, delivered fiscal year 26. It's got the new harness, new bells and whistles. John Deere comes with Topcon technology, which will tie right into our grade control technology.
Right.
So it's all set. We thought about rebuilding the old grader, but it's no brainer to save. There's no money savings, and I mean we're gonna get a brand new one for the Sourcewell contract that John Deere's on. I think it's almost 65% savings from retail. It's a huge. I was shocked that this new grader was under 500,000. I thought rebuilding the old one was going to be way more economical, but no way. So we're like, yeah, we'll get a new one.
It doesn't have all the new electronics either. So,
anyway.
Wow.
So with that, again, revenue should exceed expenditures by a little over 1,600,000. And we'd like to put that back into the reserve account to recoup some of our funding from prior spending of the property sale and the landfill gas projects. As I said, here in the future, 27, 28, we might not be able to continue that trend due to some big dirt moving operations, building some roads, but certainly for this year, next year, we would like to try to get recoup some of our reserve account money for some of those big expenditures we had the last prior couple three. So with that, we'll stand for questions.
Chief?
Chief, I have a technology question. That 35 kVA generator, does that run the office? Which part of your operations does that cover?
That'll cover the entire operation. I mean, we might not be able to have the arc welder going and like everything we own running at the same time, but it'll cover the entire operation.
The office server.
Office
be
scale house.
Down by the actual tie-in from the power line and just be a direct switch that runs everything at the facility.
Yeah. Right now, the three-phase power comes into the facility. The generator would be stationed right there. There'd be auto switch. We shouldn't see much of it.
So that would keep your backhaul up for connectivity back to the county with Starlink.
Correct. So I did not put into this budget a generator for the tower. Two reasons. That's one reason is that we really don't need it because if we don't have power, we can use Starlink as the backup because it'll power that. For two, it's a separate conversation for the board at a later date. I have been approached by White Cloud, their radio communications company in the valley. And they were contemplating on whether the county might be interested in doing like a tower project similar to what we have at Speedy Quick. They would build the tower on the tower. They just want to lease some ground. We use White Cloud Communications right now. for our radio stuff. So they said they would be willing to put in, we could put everything on their tower. They would be willing to put in this backup generator because they're gonna need it anyway for the Dragon Wave. So I don't know, I'm just later discussion, but I've been approached.
I just wanted to ensure that one of those links will stay live for your connectivity, your credit card processing and all that.
Yeah, so currently, even with the backup power situation, the Starlink should solve that problem. And there's no sense in us putting in a generator up at the tower. We don't own the tower, we don't own the building. There's Speedy Quicks in there, there's other people in there. I don't know. I didn't put it into this process. Mr. Chairman, we'll stand for questions.
We stand for questions. So Rick, the electricians decided the 35K was enough. I mean, at 240 volt, it's only 145 amp. So I think some of their well pumps, you aren't going to do anything on any of the pumps then with the standby. You're only doing the facilities.
Yeah, the only pumps we have that run via our power is our private water well pump.
Okay.
All the groundwater monitoring wells, they're all in their own dedicated pumps that run off of nitrogen.
Okay.
And then the landfill gas pumps, they run on air, okay. The compressors. And this generator would not run
any of that.
The flare, which right. That's okay.
Okay.
I mean, if we have a power outage, we have a power outage. It's no problem.
Rick?
Yeah, so we contracted, or our vendor here is Northwest Powers. So I reached out to Northwest Powers and had them go out on site and size it to the size of the panel that they have in three bays out there. So it should run almost their whole facility.
Okay.
Run everything. And that's, again, that was the generator cost and diesel. But then the extra cost for the electrician to do all the hookup, so the total came up to that 83,000.
Okay. All right. All right.
Cool. Sounds like a deal.
As long as it's propane.
As long as it'll run a crap machine in the internet, we're good.
The trouble with propane is just going to be I can't remember the percentile less than diesel, but you don't get as much horsepower out of propane. All right, any other questions?
I don't have any, Chairman.
All right, so yeah, bring us back those changes and we'll talk on the other one.
Now the $1.6 million that goes in the reserve account, proposing a profit sharing. That wasn't very funny, I guess.
Yes, Claire.
I know there's a change in credit card fees, and that's been zeroed out as a cost incurred, but how are you wanting to reflect credit card fees?
So come about July, we hope to make the switch, and at that point, we won't have any process in the credit card fees. It'll just be, it's a fee that'll be charged to each consumer directly.
But we won't be invoiced to bill to cover that.
No.
It goes on top of the pass-through. It
just goes on top of credit card as it gets swiped.
So we don't have to show any transaction.
No, we,
gotcha.
We won't. It'll
right,
be the convenience model instead of the absorb model.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure. And then the 3% revenue was clear. That was easy. As far as SIL revisiting the $15 an hour, that's a project that Director Loper will go chase down and then come back to the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure you're not expecting us to do it. Okay. All right.
I mean, we could. No. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? All right. I'd make a motion that we would take this under advisement and they'll be returning and let's adjourn for a few minutes between the records. All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. So we'll be in adjournment for a little bit. Thanks.